Y'all can hear me all right? All right. So, first we're going to pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for all of us being here tonight to hear your word. We know this is my first time preaching, but it's not your first time using somebody to declare your message. So, I just ask you, I humbly come before you and ask you that you will please speak and let your words be known, not my words. And open the ears of everyone here that they may hear, and open the eyes that they may see, to see how wonderful and glorious you are, and everything that you've ever done for us, and how you fully know us, and yet you still fully love us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, how's everybody doing?
Good.
Good, okay. So, first and foremost, I'm not very prepared, but I know God is prepared. So it doesn't matter if I'm prepared or not. But there's this song that I was trying to get Pastor Kyle to play or whatever. So it would kind of let y'all see where my mind's at. It's by Torrin Wells. It's called Fully Known. Has anybody ever heard it? Yeah? Okay. So it's like, I'm fully known and loved by you. So as I prayed, that's what I said, you know, God knows us fully. So no matter what we've done, no matter where we're at in life, no matter where we've been, I'm going to get to the scripture soon too. No matter where we've been, God still loves us. And I think that's what the foundation for the Bible is all about, you know, God's love. And we're going to read out of Revelation chapter 3. The lukewarm church. All right. So it says, the word says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And that's where we're going to stop. So, has anybody ever felt like, you know, that you were self-sufficient? That you had everything you needed? You know, you got people around you that love you. You got money, you got clothes, you got cars. Well, that's how the Laodiceans felt. They felt like they were self-sufficient. They had three main industries. They had eye salve, banking, and what else was it? And clothing. So what Jesus said to them was that, you know, you're saying you're rich, but you don't know, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And I've looked up some of the words in Greek, because the New Testament is in Greek, is Revelation at least. And the word poor doesn't just mean to be poor with money. It comes from the word, hold on, let me find it. It comes from the word tohas, the Greek word tohas, if I said that right. It means to crouch and to be afraid. So have you ever been in front of someone or a group of people? Because, I mean, the world is out there. And, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, the world doesn't like Jesus. I mean, look what they did to him. They crucified him. They killed him. So you ever been afraid to talk about Jesus? Because that's what the enemy wants. So what I'm trying to get across tonight, I guess, is to glorify God and to know that he loves you and that, you know, I wish I could reference more scriptures. I've had like a month to prepare for this, but I know it says in the word to be faithful even unto death, and he'll give you a crown of life. So no matter what, you know, when you go out there, as Pastor Kyle likes to say, into your mission field, don't be afraid to talk about the author of life just because the author of death doesn't want you to. Because it says in Hebrews, it says that he overcame death. And it also says in Revelation 3, it says that Jesus is saying they were blind. And, you know, he's just not talking about they couldn't see. He's talking about they were proud. They were haughty. That's from the Greek word tuflos. And it's from the, it's related to tuphao. It's the Greek, it's to metaphorically be puffed up with haughtiness or pride, or to be blind with pride or conceit. So, what the Lord is saying to me, and what he's saying in his word, is, you know, he's asking, he's saying, he says at the end of verse 22, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And, you know, that's saying, you know, if you want to hear me, listen up. If you want to hear what I got to say, that's what Jesus is saying. But even more so, God has revealed to me that even I can be lukewarm. Because he's telling me that it's better to be cold or hot. Now, I've read a couple of commentaries that's talking about cold or hot. Like, what does it mean to be lukewarm? In Laodicea, they had, like, aqueducts that ran from another city. And visitors who would come to the city, they would taste the water, and it would be lukewarm. So they spit it out. So what Jesus is saying is you either deny Christ or you be zealous for him and believe in him. But don't be lukewarm. Don't go around and not profess him just because of what Satan tells you. Because that's what the Laodiceans were doing. They were lukewarm. Let me go to my notes real quick. Okay, so the word lukewarm comes from the Greek word kleros. And it's like the opposite of being cold or hot. So if you're hot, you got fervor, you got energy, you got zeal, you got vigor, you got excitement, you know, to talk about Christ, to tell the world about him. But the opposite of that, is cold. It's like lethargy, lifelessness, passivity, idleness. Like you're just sitting there waiting. And Jesus didn't wait. Jesus didn't wait on us, you know? He got hung up on the cross, nailed in his hands and his feet like a criminal. Now this is God. And he died. And he rose to life again. And he lives today. So what else it says in Revelation 3? It says in verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Now, I didn't know this, but when it's talking about white garments, it's not talking about a color. It's talking about purity. So, God wants to clothe you, just like in Genesis chapter 3. You know, when Adam and Eve, when Eve disobeyed and ate the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God didn't say, he said, you know, because you ate the forbidden fruit that I commanded you not to eat. You know, he wasn't saying it like to be mean. He was saying like, you know, you did what I told you not to do. You disobeyed, so this is what's going to happen. But more so, it's like no matter what we do, no matter what happens in life, you know, it says in Joshua, it says, do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So no matter what happens, we got to know that God is with us and that he's for us. He's not against us. And he's always going to be for us. Since the beginning of time, he was for us. Even at the end of time, when he comes back, he's still going to be for us. You know, Revelation isn't really a scary book. It's written by the Apostle John. And it's, for me, it's filled with hope. Because, I mean, I look at the world and I see, you know, the darkness in the world. You know, what's supposed to be important. And it's not important. And when I read Revelation, it talks about Jesus coming back. And since I'm a believer, since I'm a Christian, I know I have a place with him. But I don't feel bad for those who don't believe. Not the slightest bit. Because, I mean, it's not hard to talk about Jesus. The hard thing is to not listen to Satan when he's talking to you, telling you not to talk about him. Because that's what he's going to do. He's going to continually say, you know, Jesus isn't real, or he didn't die. He wasn't raised from the dead. But I'm going to go back to the scriptures. So I was reading a little bit, and in chapter 14 it says, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So we know Jesus is faithful. He's a true witness because there is no lie in him. I mean, people can lie because the enemy is within them. And the devil is a liar. He's been a liar since the beginning. But God can't lie. So every promise that's in the Word is the truth. Like when he tells you he's not going to ever leave you nor forsake you. That's the truth. When he tells you he loves you, that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's not a lie. We're either going to live eternally with him in heaven forever, or we're going to live eternally in hell with Satan. But Satan is already a defeated foe. It tells us that in the book of Revelation. The only control he has is what God gives him, or the control that we give him. Because in the book of Job, you know, God was having a conversation with Satan. He said, look at my man Job. He's an upright man. He's righteous. He escheweth evil. It means he shuns evil. Do y'all think that maybe Satan's saying the same thing about y'all? Look at that person. Look what you gave him. Look what you built a hedge of protection. I got this from somebody else. They said you built a hedge of protection around him. Now, if that was all taken away, you know, it said that you'd curse God to his face. But Satan's probably saying that right now. He's like, you know, look at everybody in the church. Look at everybody in all the churches, Lord. Take away everything they have. See if they still love you. But God is merciful. So he only corrects and chastises some people. But it says in Proverbs, it says, you know, the Lord loves whom he corrects. And it even says here in Revelation, it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So if you're going through a time of difficulty, because, I mean, nobody's perfect. And everybody goes through difficulty. Because this is a difficult world. I mean, people are dying. We got death. We got Hurricane Florence that just happened. People died in the hurricane. Lawrence, Massachusetts, there were explosions. People died in that. So, I mean, the world is not our home. And there's evil all around us. But what God is here for, what he's going to do, is to promise us that, you know, we don't have to worry about the world. We don't have to worry about death anymore. Because, I mean, what's there to be afraid of? God. For the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's the only thing we should fear is God. You know? But, sometimes I think I'm self-sufficient, and God is chastising me. You know, he's saying, Justin, you know, you think you're rich, you know, you have become wealthy and you don't need me. But he's telling me, you know, I'm wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So he's asking, he's saying, Justin, why don't you come my way? Why don't you get wisdom from me, you know, gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and I'll clothe you with white garments that you may be clothed, so that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. I know that Jesus is real because what he's done for me. He wakes me up. He gives me the breath of life. And he has me up here talking to y'all. That's a cool, pretty cool thing. So, what I was going to do is ask God to open everybody's ears and eyes, and I hope that he did, because I asked him, and I know when I pray, he hears me, and he hears all of y'all. And it says if we overcome, it says right here in Revelation 3, verse 21, says, to him who overcomes, I'll grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So even unto death, if we keep talking about Jesus, if we go out here and, you know, tell people about the love of God, then he's going to give us a crown in heaven. Because it says in 1 John, or it says in the book of John, it says, hold on. A lot of people, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, that God is condemning us. Even the book of Revelation, it's like, you know, God's going to come judge us. But it states clearly, you know, in 3:16 through 21, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. And since we know that God is love, why would he condemn us, his own creation? All we got to do is listen to him. Listen to his promises. Listen to what he tells us to do. Just like the Laodiceans didn't listen. They were lukewarm. They didn't reject God, Jesus, and they didn't profess him. They were just like, yeah, you know, I think it's cool that he did this and he did that, but they didn't say Jesus is king. And God's just asking them, you know, put away your haughtiness and your pride and listen to me. So that is what I pretty much prepared. When it's talking about will I grant in verse 21, he's going to give you a gift. He's saying, I'm going to grant you, I'm going to give you a gift to sit, you know, give you a place in the kingdom with my Father, which is the originator of everything. And it says, like I said earlier, you know, he who has an ear, let him hear. He's saying, if you understand, if you listen to me, then you will, if you understand, if you listen to me, then it'll go well. But that is pretty much everything I have to say about the lukewarm church. So the message is, God loves you. He keeps his promises. Don't be lukewarm, because he's going to spew you out if you're lukewarm. I mean, who wants to be like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm not gonna do that for God, or you know, I'm not gonna tell people about him. I'm not gonna get up there and talk to a congregation for you, God. But I mean, that's what he wants us to do. And it's not on our time; it's on his time. Kind of commanding us, you know? Nobody wants to be told what to do, right? It's kind of commanding us to talk about him. But, God's going to give you everything you need. All you got to do is ask him. Man, who would thought I'd be sitting up here talking to all y'all? But, God is good all the time. He's going to give y'all whatever you ask for according to his will. And in the end, if you don't believe in him, if you don't trust in him, you might have an easy life. Y'all heard of the rich man and Lazarus? So, I mean, everybody knows about the rich man and Lazarus, but you're going to wind up going to hell if you don't believe in Jesus. So, who wants to go there? Might as well talk about him. And you know, people have the right to hear about Jesus. It's not for you to keep it to yourself. I heard that from a friend of mine. So, when y'all get the idea to not talk about him, just think about everything he's done for you. Like giving you the breath of life, bring you to the church, giving you the clothes on your back, the shoes on your feet, you know, your family. God gave you all that. All because he loves you. Loves you so much he came down here and died for you. So, I'm going to tell y'all a story real quick. It's from the book of Kings. How much time we got, Pastor Carl? Good? Good, okay. Y'all bored yet? All right, so, might as well talk about something, because I don't know what to say about, know what else to say about the lukewarm church. We're going to give a little bit of background about who God is and what God is. So, is anybody familiar with Elijah the prophet? This is an easy one, okay? Elijah the prophet, right? There were prophets of Baal. It was Jezebel and King Ahab. This is in the book of Samuel or Kings, or I think it's in both of them. But the prophets of Baal were sacrificing their children to false gods, and they were cutting themselves. I mean, y'all heard about that. People cutting themselves in the world today, right? Yeah, what? Anyways. So what Elijah said, and some people don't understand. I couldn't understand this when I was younger. I'd be like, why is God killing people in the Old Testament? I said, that ain't cool. But Elijah goes up against the prophets of Baal, and he says, he goes up on Mount Carmel, and he brings the Israelites with him because the Israelites were known for idolatry, for worshiping false gods, just like a lot of people, just like people do today, you know, money and fame and violence and all that stuff. But so Elijah goes up, and they make an altar. They make one altar over here. The prophets of Baal make the altar over there. And he says to the Israelites, he's like, okay, now we're going to put two bulls over here on each of the altars. He says to the prophets of Baal, he says, I'm going to let y'all call out to y'all's God all day and tell him to rain down fire on the altar and light it up. And Elijah says, y'all go first. He said, first we're going to dig a trench around my altar, because the prophets of Baal were well known for like kindling a fire underneath the altar and then blowing on it, making it come up on their altar to mislead the people. So we're just giving a little bit of background about who God is and how faithful he is. So Elijah's like, okay, y'all, they pour water on the altar three times. He's like, drench it with water. We're going to build it. We're going to do a trench around it. The trench filled up with water. And the prophets of Baal are calling out to their God. They're like, please, you know, blah, blah, blah. They're like, light up the altar. Baal was the fire god. They called out to him day and night, I think. And they said, you know, light the fire, Baal. And you know what Elijah said to him? He said, your God must be sleeping. And they're like, the God of money. Who trusts in money? That's idolatry. But Elijah said, your God must be sleeping. Your God must be using the bathroom. So he calls out to the Lord, Yahweh. He says, God, light up the altar. So fire comes down, poosh, lights up the altar, burns up the water, burns up the bull. All the Israelites fall down on their face. Now imagine if God would come down and, you know, light up this podium or whatever and say, toosh. Would that make us believe anymore? See, it ain't about that. It's about when he comes back. It says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. We don't want to be like a doubter, like doubting Thomas. So a little bit about background about God is, you know, he's faithful, he's true, and he's just. And if you call on his name, he's going to answer you. He always does. And Isaiah says, you know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I know, like, the devil's in the churches today. He's probably talking to some people in the congregation. Probably saying, you know, when am I going to get out of here? But that's a weapon. That's a weapon trying to be formed against you. You know, Isaiah says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's anything. That's any negative feeling. Because we know that the devil is a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. since Genesis. You know what he's going to tell you? He's going to tell you, you know, when you get out of here, you're going to have fun. You're going to go home. You're going to sit down and watch the Discovery Channel. And God's like, nah, y'all need to listen in the church. Because he's just going to keep lying. He's going to tell you, you know, money's going to make you happy. He's going to tell you that pleasure's going to make you happy. But, I mean, it says right here in Revelation 3. He's asking you, man, you know, you don't know you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He's saying, why don't you try me out and worship me and see what happens? Because he's got all the answers. God has every single answer for everyone in here. I don't know what everybody's been through, but I know this is a sinful world. I know somebody's been through something. Everybody in here has been through something in their life. Everybody's experienced death. Everybody's ashamed of something. Everybody's guilty of something. But I mean, Jesus says, come to me. And I'm going to love you. No matter what. All you got to do is believe in me. So I would just encourage everyone, you know, to go ye therefore into all the nations and preach the good news, preach the gospel. Because, I mean, that's the only way to go. Talk about Jesus. How long we got? How much longer? What time is it? One more story. Okay. Then I'll be done. This story made me laugh. So, Elisha, which is Elijah's, like, next in line. Elijah was the commander. Elisha was, like, the guy below him or whatever. So Elisha comes in. They're, the Israelites kept getting word, like, where the Syrians were going to, how were they going to, they were going to attack him. And Elisha's telling the Syrians, he's like, Elisha's telling the Israelites, this is where the Syrians are going to be at. They're going to be, like, camping on this side, and they're going to be camping on that side. And the Syrians asked their allies and their commanders or whatever, which one of you is spying on us? Which one of you is telling the Israelites? And Elisha says, no. I mean, the Syrian allies say to the commander of the army, they say, no, Elisha, who hears everything that you say in your bedroom, is the one telling the Israelites where you're going to be at. So they say, okay, we're going to go find Elisha. So they go and surround his house, the army. And Elisha's sitting there, and he's with his bondservant or his helper. And the guy says to him, Master, there's an army coming here around us. Just like the armies of life. Just like, you know, you ain't got no money. You ain't got no food. You ain't got no friends. You ain't got this. You ain't got that. So the armies, this is where I'm getting with this. The armies around Elisha, and he prays. He says, please open up, you know, my bondservant's eyes, Lord, so he may see. And he opens up their eyes, and, I mean, God opens up the bondservant's eyes, and there's like chariots of fire all along the mountain. And he said, you know, the ones who are with us is far greater than the ones who are against us. Because if God is for you, who and what can be against you? That's all I got to say.
So the looming question tonight is, are you lukewarm? You know, Justin said something that really hit home with me. He said, the book of Revelation does not scare me. It's not a scary book. To a pastor, to a Christian, it shouldn't be. To the lost world, it ought to scare you to death. Are you lukewarm? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask Jeff if you want to come. The invitation tonight is asking that simple question. What is your temperature? Are you cold? Are you hot? Or are you lukewarm? You can't hide your temperature from God. God knows. God knows who you are. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for this message tonight. We pray that you would continue to be with Justin. Lord, open his eyes and help him to feel your presence like never before. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this evening and just spend some time with God at the altar? Will you come?